Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Eric Byram, and I'd like to welcome, extend a welcome to family and friends who have come today to honor and remember the life of Karen Louise McClooney Jackson, who is affectionately known as Mama J by many of us. John 11:25-26 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We come today to celebrate that our sister in the Lord is with the Lord, and that those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will one day see Karen again. Just in way of announcement, Pastor John Dunn will be doing the message in the graveside today in lieu of Bishop Jesse Williams, who was unable to be here today. Karen loved worship, as many of you know, and this morning we are going to be singing some of her favorite songs and choruses. She liked it loud, so just be ready. We'll have it a little bit loud. And though this is a somber time, it also is a celebration. We know she is with the Lord now. She is rejoicing with us. And we want to also celebrate her life this day. So let's sing these songs from the perspective that she is experiencing the reality of what we're singing about in a way we aren't. And we can be joyful and excited for her, even though we miss her dearly. So worship team, if you would come up.
Can I just take a second to say, I know we're all here because we love Mama J. Let's truly celebrate her life. She lived a good, full, rich life. She didn't hold back. Let's not hold back this morning praising the Lord. Let's enjoy celebrating Mama J's life.
Amen.
You know, as my wife just spoke about Mama J, it's interesting. I don't ever remember calling her Karen. It was always Mama or Mama J. Ooh, I might need help.
Praise the Lord.
Lord,
we thank you so much, Lord, that we can worship you, Lord. Even during these times, Lord, we worship you and we praise you, Lord. We know, Lord, that Mama J, Lord, is up there dancing with us. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, O Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord God.
Yes.
How she loved to worship.
As we're singing that song, we can only imagine. We only have a pale guess as to what heaven is like. But our sister, Mama J, doesn't have to imagine anymore. And that's one thing that we can rejoice in the fact that she is with the Lord. My name is Judea Fox. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace Fellowship Church. And I've been asked to pray to get us started this morning. So friends, family, including those that are watching live and later on Facebook, Brandon, Doug, my deepest condolences and love for your loss. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, you are the Father of all mercies. You have an everlasting love. It does not change.
Yes.
No matter what we do or what we say, you are here for us. No matter what we go through, you understand, you feel our pain, and we hold on to and we cherish that everlasting love. You are the God of all comfort, the God of all peace. As it says in Philippians 4:7, you offer the peace which surpasses all understanding. You will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would become our strength in this time of loss, our hope in this time of bereavement, our joy in this time of sorrow, and our perfect peace in the turmoil that our hearts are feeling. Thank you, Lord, that the sting of death has been broken forever, and that the curse of the grave has been destroyed through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He has broken forever the power of death and hell for all those who trust in his name. As such, we know where Karen, Mama J, is. Lord, speak to our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit. Confirm the hope that is in the finished work of the cross. Lord, we celebrate a life lived for Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we remember, Lord, Mama J's great love for everyone. We cherish that. We hold on to it. And Lord, we pray for those who do not yet know you as their Savior. We pray that they would come to know and accept you as their Savior, and that they would find also this rest and perfect peace that is in you alone. And we pray this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I am Dorothy Fuller. I am Mama J's friend. I have been asked to read the 23rd Psalm. I am reading from the King James Version of the Holy Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. The speaker mic.
In the cleft of the rock, where rivers of mercy I see, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand and covers me there with his hand. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my love in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry thirst.
Yeah. Good afternoon. I'm Jay Shifley. I have a lot of history here and a longtime friend of the Jackson family. What is there to say about Karen Jackson? Well, thankfully for me, there's plenty. Even as I stand before you right now, it's hard to believe she isn't here among us, ready to give an encouraging word, or a friendly smile, or a hug. There's a hole in all of our hearts this afternoon. And while that hole will become less painful in time, it will never be filled. I'm humbled and honored to have this opportunity to recognize such a wonderful woman who loved God, raised two great sons, and touched the lives of so many. Karen's roots in Mansfield run deep. She was born here, but she spent a large amount of her time in her childhood overseas in places like the Philippines and Japan, because her father was a military contractor in those places. She lived for some time in Boston with her family too. And all of us who knew her were well aware of her love for the New England Patriots. She had a crush on Tom Brady and Ron Gronkowski for the longest time. But even after they decided to leave the Patriots and go to Tampa Bay, she still remained a faithful Patriots fan. Although she did request that Doug get her a couple of Tampa Bay jerseys with a couple of specific numbers on them, like number 12, number 87, maybe, so she could wear those in secret. Karen started her adulthood as a student at Kent State, and she was present during the Kent State Vietnam protests and shootings. She left Kent State after a year and moved on to nursing school. She became a registered nurse in 1972. This, it seems, was her calling because she continued to work in the nursing field for the rest of her life. Karen worked as an RN at Boston City Hospital and many other places. And over time, her career as a nurse was very versatile and impressive. She worked as a scrub nurse. She worked in a nursing home, as a nurse for insurance companies, as a mental health nurse, and for the last 23 years of her career, she worked as a nurse in the corrections facilities, starting with adult facilities and moving on to juvenile. For fun, Karen loved cruises. She went on many of cruises with her friends, Joanne and Julia. I can see her having fun on a cruise, can't you? Karen just loved to have fun with her friends and family. It didn't have to be on a cruise, though. Karen brought love and laughter wherever she went. She also loved bull riding. Well, let me clarify that a minute. She loved to watch bull riding. She was an avid rodeo fan, and she attended many of them with her son Doug and her friend Terry. My relationship with Karen was built around her macaroni salad. Well, not really. Well, maybe it was, yeah. At Grace Fellowship, Karen was a key person in many of the youth programs here when I was the youth pastor. We had many summer programs during that era, and one of them was called a Discipleship Training School, or DTS. It was a week-long program for high school students, and while there were so many people involved in making that program happen, Karen was especially important because all those kids had to eat. She, along with her good friend Wilma, would create meals for these kids that have gone down in history as some of the best meals ever cooked. In fact, during DTS, I made sure my wife knew I wouldn't be home in the evening for dinner. I'd be coming home after dinner. During the years that I ministered here, DTS grew from about 30 participants to over 100. And I remember being really nervous about going and telling Karen that second year that she would be cooking for about three times as many people as she was used to. I expected her to react negatively, but because I basically tripled her workload. But I should have known better than that. Karen was more excited about the numbers than I was. She was definitely a giver, and she was not afraid of hard work. She not only made meals for DTS, but she also made meals for cross-training camps, also for the many times that Japanese students would come from Japan and stay here for a while. She cooked for graduation parties, and anything, really, that enabled her to cook in order to bless people. And those were the years before we had an air conditioner in the kitchen here, too, so it was really hot. And as luck would have it, the programs were usually held during the hottest weeks of the year. But I never heard Karen complain. And we all knew, too, to stay out of the kitchen when Karen was at work. One of my colleagues, Rick, at DTS, learned that the hard way when he strayed into the kitchen one too many times. Karen made him, as punishment, stand barefoot in a tub of old spaghetti. I guarantee you, Rick never made that mistake again. For some reason, though, I was allowed in the kitchen. I'm not sure what gave me that privilege, but I was grateful for it because I could sample some of the dishes ahead of time that she and Wilma were preparing. Both her sons, Doug and Brandon, learned to cook by watching and helping her. Doug tells me that Karen told him that his macaroni salad was better than hers. I find that highly unlikely, Doug. I don't believe you. You're going to have to prove it to me sometime. And then we have to include Karen's love for children and her famous candy bag that she carried with her every Sunday for the kids. It was Karen's way of telling the kids of Grace Fellowship that they were special and that she loved them. There would often be a long line of kids waiting to receive a treat from Karen's bag and a hug after church. Several times I tried to join that line too, but Karen would chase me away. It's a good thing I already knew she loved me. Life wasn't always easy for Karen. She faced more than her share of hardships, and I was around for some of them. The death of her husband, Curtis, in 2002 was devastating for her, and she struggled after his death. But in typical fashion, she rose to the occasions. Proverbs 31 talks of an ideal woman and her ability to smile at the future. I think Karen's ability to smile at the future, not fear the future, was one of her greatest strengths. A few years ago, Karen had a stroke. She had it about the same time my mother had had a stroke. And they were both in the same rehab facility in Ashland at the same time. I would be there as Karen sent people down to see my mother when they came to visit her. "Be sure and go down and see Penny Shifley at the end of the hall before you leave," she'd say. Actually, I kind of think she ordered them to go see my mom. And I think there were people that came to see my mother that didn't have a clue who she was, but they were afraid to disobey Karen. But that was classic. She always wanted to share her blessings with others. And we're here today because we knew Karen. We loved her, and we want to say goodbye and wish her family well. There's no doubt that Karen is with Jesus now, in full health and completely whole. That's wonderful to know. What's heaven like? Well, there's a lot we don't know about heaven. Jesus left a lot of it to be a surprise for us, but there's some important things that we do know. We know Karen's with Jesus. We know she's whole. She's with other saints like her. And due to the grace and sacrifice of Jesus, we all have the opportunity to be with her someday in God's presence. Death isn't the end. In fact, it's just the beginning. I'd like to end with this quote from the last few sentences of the C.S. Lewis novel, The Last Battle, from the Chronicles of Narnia. And as the lion Aslan spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and title page. Now at last, they were beginning the chapter one of the great story. One which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, and which every chapter is better than the one before. We love you, Karen. Thank you for the life you've led. We're so much richer because of you.
Hello, my name is Deb McKee. Mama Jay called me Deb Deb. I was one of her friends. Mama Jay loved the Lord, Curtis, her sons Brandon and Dougie, Squirt, her dog, our church family, and friends, co-workers, caregivers, and the New England Patriots. We're getting a theme here, aren't we? When I think of Mama Jay, I think of generosity. Raise your hand now if anyone here has been blessed by Mama Jay or been on the receiving end of her generosity and overflowing heart. Gifts, gift cards, money, time, homemade food items prepared with love by her own hands. There is a group of women who regularly, one time a month, went to Mama Jane's to take her lunch and for fellowship and for each one of us to get our, quote, Mama J fix. On my scheduled day was when she and I would have our heart-to-heart talks, solving the world problems. Mama J would say, you know, Deb Deb, if we were in charge, we wouldn't be in this mess. We would laugh and we would say we never wanted to be in charge and that we were both very thankful that we each personally knew God Almighty, King of the universe, who is in charge. We would also talk recipes, catch up on GFC prayer requests that had come through via emails from Judy Nichols. And during those times, I also learned a lot about Curtis, whom I never had had the privilege to meet. She also shared about her days at Blue Cross and working in the prison system. Mama Jay was full of advice, whether you ask for it or not. And I love that about her. She called a spade, and you always knew what she was thinking, and sometimes she could be a force to reckon with. I have had the privilege to share some of my thoughts and stories with you all today, but we all have our own favorite Mama J stories. If everyone right now would just close your eyes for a moment and think of that special story. Remember to hold close the memories of a special friend, a woman who was vivacious, fun, and had a great sense of humor, and lived life to the fullest, whether she was worshiping, cheering on the Patriots, cooking in the kitchen, or in the back row right here at GFC with her candy bag, waiting for her precious babies to come and see her, to receive candy, and to give her a hug. Well done, good and faithful servant. We all love you, Mama Jay, and are grateful for the thumbprint that you left on each one of our lives. good afternoon. My name is Anita Hickenbotham, and we met the Jackson family when Curtis and Karen and the boys started attending church here. And we have so many good memories of all those times. And then Brandon and Doug both worked with my husband John when we had Solid Rock Sports. And those were special years too. When she walked into the room, the atmosphere changed almost immediately. There was instantly present more zest, more warmth, and at least a little bit more ornery. She loved filling tummies, and as a result, Karen Jackson also filled many hearts. Most people who encountered her knew instinctively they were in the presence of someone special. Even though Curtis, Brandon, and Dougie were unquestionably the brightest lights of her life, it seems that all of us were taken under her wing as part of her gathering. And even though she called the young ones my babies, most of us were part of her fold, regardless of our age or size or the color of our skin. Guys, thank you for sharing her with us and letting us be a part of the family. We all needed a mama like her. She wrapped us in her strong arms and big heart and always made sure there was enough to eat. If Karen Jackson was in the mix of an event and you left hungry, it was your own darn fault. She had undoubtedly done her part. Karen, in every way I can think of, was a woman of abundance. She didn't do anything small. I loved the way she went at life. Her willingness to lend a hand and to bring encouragement was always lavish. Generosity was woven deep into the fiber of her being. I don't think she had any concept of how not to give. She also had strong thoughts and strong opinions and wasn't shy about sharing either. The thing I most appreciated and will most miss about her was the example she was of pressing on to do life on the terms she determined were best, even in the face of obstacles and losses. She had gifts and heart and drive, and nothing apparently was going to stop her from keeping on. When her beloved Curtis died, and when health matters arose, she took hold of a deep and fierce courage, jumped on the proverbial horse, and took the reins firmly in hand. I'm sure that these life developments terrified her at some level, but you rarely saw a blip in her persistence of life. Maybe those difficulties reminded her that life cannot be taken for granted, and our days ought not to be wasted when an opportunity of something we can do is before us. For us, if a family celebration was approaching, Karen would track us down and ask, "What can I do?" and offered her skills and help. And usually it meant that some days or weeks later, when the time in question arrived, she would show up with massive pans of piping hot food. You'd better have invited an army. One of my favorite memories of Karen was observing the relationship she had with my mom. Both women loved to feed people. Karen's was cooking, Mom's was baking, and both had a solid reputation in their specialties. So when they met, a strong and probably inevitable bond was formed. It wasn't until reading her obituary that I discovered that Karen's middle name was Louise, same as my mom's. So maybe that was a little threat of it as well. Both women prepared and delivered more food than anyone else I have known, and both had in them a strong dose of stubborn that helped them each in surviving their spouses by 18 years. But I laughed every time I heard Karen refer to my mom, who was 20 years her senior, as her road dog. I never heard many of the details of what they did when they headed out on some little adventure, but I'm pretty sure that laughter, food, and some kind of mischief was in the mix. They liked to keep the specifics to themselves. I guess I would sum up Karen Jackson this way. The woman was a feast. It wasn't just the food she provided time after time, but the huge heart and the wide smile and the upbeat attitude and the sharp focus she carried to take life by the horns and make it good. She fed us all in so many ways by that gusto for life. I am guessing she has probably already found a kitchen in the great beyond, possibly taking charge and whipping up something spectacular alongside my mom for the next big event there. We were all so very lucky to have known Karen.
to share the parts of life we did. So blessed to be loved and cared for by such a dynamic and fun woman. I hope we will all remember her often and will be motivated when we do to try and give what we have as generously as she did. Thanks.
I'm honored to share my memories with you of Mama J today. My name is Marie Heininger. Dougie is our oldest. It's the going joke. You know, we got four kids. They all sing with us. Dougie's our oldest. It's the Heiningers. You know, we do worship. I'd like to try a little experiment with you right now, if you don't mind. So just indulge me for a second. Good morning, Grace Fellowship. You did it. Good job. She would be proud of you. That was one of the first memories that I have of Mama J here at Grace when we started coming. That was just her standing up here with her smiling face, loving everybody, and just making everybody feel welcome, right? That was her gift. She just loved everybody. Sorry, I'm going off note. Probably not a good thing. So we've already heard, Mama J was greatly loved here at Grace Fellowship in this body because she loved greatly. And she loved everybody, but specifically she loved the children. And if you were under 30, you were one of her babies. That's just the way it was. You've heard mention already of the candy bag, but that was just the beginning. That was kind of like her love language with the kids. With the candy came love and acceptance and hugs and an excitement to see them. Who doesn't love to be made over when you walk in the room, right? That was Mama J's thing. There would be a line of kids waiting to talk to Mama J, and they were so excited because, well, of course they got a piece of candy. And you all remember, it wasn't the cheapo stuff at the dollar store. This was the good stuff. She must have spent a fortune because there were, you know, Reese's cups and, you know, candy bars, and it was all the good stuff in there. So I asked my kids. I cheated. Sorry, ladies. I said, so what? Tell me your favorite memories of Mama J. And our oldest girl, Carol, she said it wasn't necessarily a specific memory about Mama J. It was her consistently loving me and consistently always being excited to see me. Isn't that was her gifting. So here, I wrote a good speech. I'm sorry, I'm not following it, and I wanted to. I liked it. Anyway, I'll try to get back. Here we go. So there'd be a long line of kids. She would gush over each one of them, and the kids would walk away munching their candy, just feeling like they were the most important person in the world. Because that was her job. She had accomplished her mission. How did she know that that's what kids needed? To be built up, to be loved, to feel like they were important? I don't know. She just knew it. It was just like part of her DNA. And you know what? Nobody ever wanted to disappoint Mama J. Right, kids? You knew she loved you, and you always wanted to have a good story to tell Mama J, the things that you did that week that were awesome, and you didn't ever want her to disappoint her. The kids in this church knew that they were important and loved because Mama J told them. She told them every time she saw them, every single one of them. It was her gifting. One of my earliest specific memories of Mama J was when our daughter Sarah was in her Sunday school class. And Sarah loved Sunday school. She had Mama J and Mrs. T as her teachers. And I'm sure she wasn't the only one in the room that thought that they were awesome. And of course, they always had a snack. Mama J also did all the fun games for the kids at the fall festivals with Miss Dorothy, complete with prizes. I think the fishing game was probably the annual favorite. Oh, I'm seeing heads shake, yes. Mm-hmm. And they tie-dyed shirts together. They did a skit together, complete with costumes made by Miss Dorothy. And you've already heard about her famous food for cross-training camps and DTS and vacation Bible schools. Sarah tells me that her favorite part was right before snack. She would go see Mama Jay and hang out with her, and Mama Jay would tell her stories. She said Mama Jay had the best stories. She had some story about she was upset with somebody because they fed her babies and they didn't cook something long enough and everybody got sick. I don't know. I didn't hear the whole story, but that's the basic premise. Later in some of our lunch times with Mama Jay, when my girls got a little older, the stories got even better. Our favorites, right, Sarah, wherever she's at, our favorites were the ones that she would tell us of when she was a little girl, or maybe not so little girl. Hilarious. If you want some good, clean, see me later. Good stuff. One of my favorite recent memories was at one of those lunch days, was when she asked my Sarah to sing for her. Sarah had just told her, you know, what was going on in her life. She had auditioned for a musical, and she said, "What did you sing?" And she told her, and she's like, "Would you sing that for me?" Sarah didn't bat an eye. She's like, "Sure." She sang it for her. She sang it with all her heart. It was beautiful, and Mama Jay treasured it. There were tears coming down her eyes. Next time she saw her, she thanked her again. You could tell that it was special to her, because her love for those babies was authentic. It was the real deal. They truly brought her joy. She did so many things for her babies. I've only scratched the surface. She took them Christmas shopping, out for special days of Five Below and smoothies, remember those, birthday meals, watching Bible trivia shows and football games at her house. You know what? She found whatever made them feel special, and that's what she did. It was her gifting, and it was quite an impact of love on a generation or two of young people. What a legacy for the next generation of us to emulate, and what a picture of Christ's love for his church.
Finally, I can breathe. Would y'all mind just putting your hands together and giving God praise for the life of our own Mama Karen? Amen. A wonderful person living who lived a wonderful life. Now, I am a Pentecostal preacher, so y'all had to talk back to me. So if I say anything that sounds like the truth, just say amen or say, yeah, that's right. All right? I am John Dunn. I am not Bishop Jesse Williams. I was asked by him. He could not be here, and I was asked to give the message on today. First of all, let me honor God, who is the head of my life, and to Pastor Eric, we do honor you, sir, and to Pastor Jason, we honor you as well. To all of you, and certainly we give deference to Dougie and Brandon and this family. We do come here to celebrate the life of somebody who loved lavishly and generously, and we appreciate her having crossed our path. Now, I encountered her in a different vein, and that was when she was working as a nurse at Mansfield Correctional Institution. I was an officer and a supervisor there, and when she came to work for us, we made it a point, me and some of my crew, to make sure that we always checked in with her to make sure she was all right. You know, a prison, particularly a level 3, level 4 prison, can be a volatile place, and it can be something that can make the average person afraid. And so we wanted to make sure that she was comfortable when she was working. And we would often make sure that we checked in that area in the infirmary and made sure she was good. And it wasn't very long that we thought we were looking out for her, and only to discover that often anytime we came in contact with her, she was looking out for us. She would love on us and cause she had that knack for making you feel like you were one of her own. Amen? And so it wouldn't take very long. She would love on us. And it was funny. She could make you laugh, or she could tell jokes, and she was infectious in her laughter. And even when she called herself fussing at us, it didn't last very long. And she wouldn't end up, before it was all said and done, loving on us all over again. But we appreciate her life. She was one of those people, even when her husband passed, and a couple of us went to the house to go look in on her and Dougie and Brandon, we called ourselves going there to encourage her and to be a source of uplift to her. But by the time we left, she was uplifting us and making us feel like, making sure that we were okay. I said, well, ma'am, you're the one in mourning. But no, she was just good. Everything was good with her. And it's really all because really two things, and I know our time is far spent, so I won't be very long. But the one thing was, God put it in her to be the person she was. Really, she embodied being a mother. Amen? I was going to talk about, and I'll do it just real quick, there were some attributes of a mother that I noticed and took note of when it came to the Bible, but particularly when it came to Mary, the mother of Jesus. There were a few attributes I believe that she had, and certainly Mama J, as y'all called her, we called her Mother Karen, she exuded to us. The first thing, Brandon and Doug, is your mom was chosen. She was chosen by God to be your mom. She was chosen by God to be in this church. She was chosen by God to love on each and every one of us. In the story in Luke 1:28-29, the angel now has come to Mary to tell her, ma'am, you are blessed and highly favored. You're going to be the one who's going to birth the Savior. In other words, he was telling her that she had been chosen. So we discovered one of the great attributes, and something certainly Karen had, was she was chosen to not only be your parents, but to love on everybody that she encountered. I don't care who you were. If you were around her too long, you were going to feel like she was your mama. Amen? Second thing I noticed about moms, good moms in general, is that they push you into your greatness. Everybody say greatness. In John 2nd chapter, verses 3 through 5, this is the scene now of the first miracle that Jesus performed. You remember he turned water into wine, right? So the story, y'all supposed to say, yeah, I remember. There you go. So there they are now, and the host comes and says to Mary, we don't have no wine. And she doesn't even sweat it. She goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, son, they've run out of wine. And you remember Jesus' response was, it's not my time yet, Mom. I'm not even, supposed to be doing anything now. But just like a mom, certainly like my mom, and I'm certainly like Karen as well, she ignored what Jesus was saying. How many children have parents that you've told them something, they just completely ignored what you were saying and wanted you to go head on and do exactly what they wanted you to do? So Jesus says, not my time. And she says, she didn't even answer him. If you look at that text, what she did was she went to the servant and said, y'all do whatever he says. In other words, in this time, she pushed Jesus, who did not want to do it, but she pushed him into his greatness. She pushed him into beginning his ministry and starting to do miracles from that point forward. Amen. So she's chosen, and that will push you into your greatness. And lastly, a good mama is always there. I'm going to say it again. A good mom is always there. Anybody else can attest to that? Every time you turn around, your mama's around somewhere. When you've been good, when you've been not so good, they don't throw you away, but they just keep on coming around. They keep on loving you. So in Jesus' life, Mary was there to birth him. She was there when he grew up. She found him in the temple at 10 years old. They had to go find him. She was with him. She was with him throughout his ministry time. And in the book of John 19:25-27, it says this. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Notice two things about this particular text. One, Mary is there even at Jesus' worst time. Anybody else had a mom that's been with you when you've been in your worst time? When you've been in a season, something was going on that other people would have pushed you aside and not showed up for you. Your mama showed up for you. And that's just like Karen. She always was one. When you look up and she was there. Now, the person I'm standing instead of, he has two daughters, Jaleesa and Jasmine. And Lord knows when she hooked up with them two young ladies, she would travel all the way to Lima just to go see them two or wherever they may be. She always stayed in contact with them because she loved them little girls like crazy. And with anything that was going on with them, they were going to hear from Mama Karen. But Jesus is just like that even now. Mary's there at the cross. Notice that the record in this text, there's no record of the two thieves that were on the cross also that any of their family was there. But Mary was right there with Jesus. Led me to this thought. One is that a good mom will make sure that you get to the cross. Anybody else, mom, have helped you get to where Jesus is? Helped you get to the cross? Helped you get to know who Jesus is? Then lastly, and I'm closing now, be done for the day. I know y'all are ready to go. But the last thing is that for Mama Karen, Mama J, Miss Jackson, Nurse Jackson as we called her, the biggest thing that she did for everyone that she encountered was that she was always being led by Christ. She always exuded the love of Christ because she had placed her life in his hands. And it really all depends on whose hands things are in. For instance, a tennis racket in my hand, I might be able to get the ball back across the net. But if you put that tennis racket in Venus and Serena Williams' hands, it becomes Wimbledon championships and Grand Slam tournament championships and USA Open championships, because it all depends on whose hands it's in. You put a golf club in my hand, besides being probably just a weapon, it's not going to get you probably par very often. But if you put that same golf club in the hands of Tiger Woods, it becomes 14 major championships and millions of dollars in endorsements, because it really all depends on whose hand it's in. If you take a football and you put it in my hand, I might be able to hit a target maybe 10 yards away, but no further. But if you put that same football in Tom Brady's hands, yes, I heard y'all talk about the Patriots, it becomes 6 Super Bowl World Championships, because it all depends on whose hands it's in. Amen? So if I have my life and I leave it to my own devices, my life would be an absolute mess. Anybody else here feel the same? If it was left up to me, we'd be in trouble. But if you put your life in Jesus' hands, you will experience love everlasting. You will experience joy. You will experience peace that surpasses men's understandings. And you will ultimately end up exceeding and receiving salvation, because it all depends on whose hands it's in. Amen. Would everybody close your eyes just for a moment and bow your heads with me? If you're hearing the sound of my voice, perhaps you recognize that it's time now for you to put your life in Jesus' hands. It doesn't take a whole lot to do, and you can do it at this very moment. If you're under the sound of my voice and you recognize perhaps you have not been living under the parameters of what God would want you to do, but you want to make the choice today to start living your life as he would want you to, according to his standards. If you want to put your life in his hands, just slip up your hand right where you are. I see those hands. Are there others? God bless you. God bless you as well. Then my brothers and my sisters, if you would, everybody, just pray this prayer. Repeat it after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I've sinned against you, but I also acknowledge that you are the Savior. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life and help me to live for you from this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers, my sisters, those of you that raised your hand, if you prayed that prayer believing God, I want you to know you are saved at this very moment. I encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and watch God change your life for the better. Amen? God bless you.
What a wonderful word. Thank you, sir. My name is Matt Godsell, and I'm a former elder in this church and a current member, and known Karen since the early 90s. And, you know, she suffered along with me during my eldership, and she also was in our small group that we have here in church that I was leading as well. And but if you notice in the program says Coach Matt Godsell, because of all the important roles that I've had in our relationship, coaching her son was probably the most important to her because of our relationship. And I would come in on Sundays, we'd go through the service, and toward the end of the service, she'd always call me over, Coach, come here. She would give me an assessment of what happened that previous Friday night. And I have dealt with a lot of football parents, but this lady knew the game. And after I kind of, you know, would wince a little bit because she didn't hold back, as we've attested to already, but she also had great insight. And then she would look forward to what was coming up. And then she would encourage me. And I think that's what we are all testifying to. She was, whether it was in the kitchen or down here in the sanctuary or in the parking lot or in her home during a camp, she was an encourager. So I've been asked, and I'm honored to do so, do a benediction. Now, a benediction, you know, might take a little different forms in different churches, but it's meant to be a blessing and an encouragement as we go out these doors. And as we go out these doors, as she would encourage me about, hey, you're playing Lexington this week, or Mansfield Senior, or Ashland, she would give an encouragement. So I just want to, I want you to think about her encouraging you from her position now, as she looks down, loves you all, and wants to be an encouragement as you walk out these doors and continue on. So if you, I'd like to invite you to stand and raise your hands to heaven as we receive this benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand here now in awe of what you have done for those who have finished their journey in faith and who now enjoy the love and peace of your heavenly presence. We praise you, Lord, from our hearts for our beloved Mama Jay, whom you have received into your loving arms. For Karen now enjoys your peace. May your eternal loving light shine down upon each of us, as it does now upon her. Help us, Lord Jesus, to believe in what Mama Jay currently, at this moment, enjoys fully in heaven, though we have yet to see it. May we think upon the love she showed to so many over her time with all of us and be reminded of you. May we share your love, Lord Jesus, as she shared your love to everyone around her. We go now from this place with the hope and faith of being brought at last with Mama Jay at the right time for you into eternal life, into your arms, Heavenly Father, into your home, feeling your love and grace with Jesus and through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now I believe Josh is going to come up and give some instructions concerning what's going to happen next.